Good morning to everyone. We certainly have a good crowd out this cold, wintry morning and appreciate your presence. It always takes a little bit more effort on these cold mornings to get moving and get everything started. And as was mentioned in the prayer, we're very blessed in this country that we have warm homes and warm vehicles to transport us back and forth to worship. I was thinking this morning about a time when people had to either ride a horse or get on a buckboard wagon to go to worship services, and how much zeal and ambition it would take to do that on a morning like this morning. I went out and started the car, and we're blessed with a vehicle that has heated seats, which a lot of them do anymore, and went ahead and got the seats heated up, and whenever we got in, it was just nice and toasty and warm, and it was a pleasure to do that, you know. And I thought about how much different it would have been if I'd have lived several years ago when people didn't have all these modern conveniences and luxuries that we have, and we are blessed in this great nation in which we live in, and we've got a lot to be appreciative for. And just the fact that we've got this nice building to come together in worship God this morning, and the warmth that is felt within here, both spiritually and from the heater. And we know that Jackson Energy and South Kentucky RECC, they probably like these spells like this because it makes those energy bills that soar through the ceiling, and those old heating units that's sitting outside the house just seem to run all the time. So they're blessed from the cold weather, and we can just be glad that we have all the things that make our lives easier, even in these times. I had announced last week, some of y'all weren't here, that I was going to talk a little bit more about time this morning, and then tonight do a lesson on how to prioritize time a little bit. And it was brought to my attention that Brother Barry Lee a few weeks back had brought a lesson about prioritizing, and sound like he'd covered a lot of the same things that I were going to, so I'm going to change that a little bit for the night just to make you aware and hope that you can be back out with us. And I'm going to kind of title that lesson tonight, Goals for the New Year, the upcoming year. And this is the time of year that we all reflect on, I think, time, what we've accomplished in the last year. And we may be making plans for the upcoming year. We're looking forward to the year that we're about to enter into, and we're making plans for that. We don't, none of us know that we'll be here till even tomorrow, and we don't know that we'll be here tonight at midnight to see the new year ushered in. But we still have to make plans, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with making plans for the future and realizing that life is fleeting and time is short, and we have to make plans and make preparation for the things that we want to accomplish in the upcoming year. But again, time is fleeting, and we look back on this year and it doesn't seem possible that there's already been another year that has passed. And Brother Sherman made the point there Wednesday night how that as he gets older, he realizes that it seems that time even picks up speed. And I can confirm that, being 53 years old. And it seems like that the older I get, the more it becomes a reality. And I remember when I was younger and people would say that, I'd say, well, that's crazy. There's still 24 hours in a day and 365 days in a year. How can that be? But I've talked to people that are older than I am even, and they say that it's true, that it seems like it just kind of keeps gaining momentum, that you can't hardly keep up with it. And Marvin Cromer, who's a good neighbor in our community and a person that many of y'all know, he told me not long ago, he said, it takes me 12 hours to get 6 hours of work done anymore. And I thought, that sounds like me. That sounds like where I'm headed to. It seems like we slow down in our energy and our ability to do things, and time just keeps it going. It's still going at the same pace, and what we can get accomplished seems to be less just because of physical limitations. But we'll those of you that are still young, someday maybe you can look back on this and say, well, I know what Robbie was talking about whenever he said, as you get older, time picks up speed. But as we reflect back on last year, I want you to think about the things that you've accomplished, and both physical things and things of a spiritual nature. And I want you to think about also, as we look forward into the new year, and as the lesson will be tonight, about some goals that you might have for the new upcoming year, I want you to think about some things that you might want to accomplish, again, both physically and spiritual. And I think the point was made, it was pointed out to me by Brother Barry, rather than making God our first priority, what we need to do is include God in everything that we do, and that's a very valid point. We all have to go to work and do things to support our families, and we have to go to school. The children have to go to school. There has to be teachers there to teach them. There has to be waitresses in the restaurants and people who cook the food. So we're all just kind of dispersed out into places to where we can be a light in the world. And if God is first in our life, and we make that a priority that He is, we can reflect God through our lives wherever we're at. And I think that's the way that God would have it to be. And that's why we have individuality. That's why He creates each one of us to do His will in whatever way or whatever capacity that we can and whatever capacity we're involved in and wherever we're at. And that's a very valid point. If God is first in your life, people that you come in contact with will be able to pick up on that pretty shortly after being in your presence. And that's a very good point. And if we get that very basic principle established in our mind, then we'll be doing the work of God each and every day in all the walks of our lives. And again, I had a short sermon that I wanted to share with you, and they don't cost you any extra, by the way, but I ran into a thing over at the hospital the other day when I was visiting Thelma Bullock's husband and out in the hallway, and I thought it was very applicable. It said, some people, these are quotations from people that worked there in the hospital that they thought were valid. It said, some people that come into our lives are a blessing, and some people that come into our lives are a lesson. And I thought about that. I thought, boy, that's very applicable, and we can make application of that. And I think God has a purpose for both of those people. Even those people that may learn as a lesson from maybe doing us wrong, there's still a lesson to be learned. And there's still something to be garnered from that we can maybe grow spiritually. So you can take that and think on that and make your own conclusions about what that meant. But again, time is fast. It's fleeting. It's getting away from us. And we look at time in a sense of past, present, and future. I always thought in my studies of the book of Revelation, it deals with the past, the present time when that was being revealed unto John, and then future things that were going to happen. It always helped kind of keep it clear in my mind what I was looking at. You can't just look at it and think that it's all in the past or all the present time or in the future. And maybe that's the way we need to do as God's people, as Christians. Maybe we need to think about, when we think about this concept of time is you know, the past, what's gone, what's behind us this last year, tonight, 2017, tonight at midnight, it'll just be history. It'll be gone. We can't go back and undo or change things that we've done. They're already settled and they've been determined. So what we have to do from that standpoint is we have to look forward and say, what could I do a little bit different in the future? How could I rethink my time as far as what I'm doing with my time? How could I rethink my situation? How much time am I giving to the Lord versus how much time am I doing things that pertain to myself or things that pertain to this life? And as I pointed out last week for those who weren't here, that balancing act has always been a big challenge for everybody, to balance God, the family, the job, all the other obligations that we have in this life. That's a big balancing act, and it can wear on us, and it can bear down on us pretty hard, and it can tire us trying to cover all those bases. And as I said, sometimes we get several balls in the air that we're trying to juggle, and it's hard to keep up with them all. And the next thing you know, we might drop one or two of them, and things might not be just as we would like for them to be. And that would be an easy point to become discouraged. So trying to get some balance in that and realizing that the Scriptures tell us to do all things in moderation, that's a key verse in my life that I've had to learn, is to do all things in moderation. That's a really good thing to think about and meditate upon and ask yourself, how much moderation am I using in my time distribution as we go into the new year? As you think about time is something that is out of our control and that we can't stop it. It's again, it's racing on, it's continuing on, and we can't stop it. We can't go and say, well, I would just like to stop that clock right there and let it be the same time 24 hours from now. We don't have the ability to do that, do we? We can't stop it. We can't control time. It's going to keep marching on. It's going to keep, it waits on no man, as the old cliche goes. So if time is out of our control, what is it that's in our control? I think the juggling of it and the organizing of it and the getting our things into priority, since I can't talk this morning, getting our lives into priority and getting our time into priority, that's something that is in our control. And how well are we doing that? How well are we getting our time in control? And how well are we prioritizing when it comes to our time? Again, we can't stop it. We can't change the pace that it's going. It's going to keep on rolling right along with or without us. And whenever we let things go, that the opportunities that might confront us to spread Christianity, to spread the gospel, to do spiritual things, a lot of times those opportunities never come back around. That's not always the case, but a lot of times it is the case. So again, time doesn't stand still. It's rolling on. It waits on no man. And again, Sherman done a real good job pointing that out Wednesday evening. I thought that we need to realize that that's the way it is with time. And whenever it's gone, it's forever gone, and it's past. Again, another thing about time is that I've noticed is time will always change people. You may not think that it does, but it does. It changes people, and there's a lot of things in our culture that we can see that in my short life that I can see that has changed, that were different whenever I was younger. And I'm sure many of you all that are older can say that you've seen a lot more changes in time. Time just has a way of progressing, and it changes the way that people look at things and the way that people do things. Again, you know, we look at time differently because I could jump in that nice vehicle that I've got and drive from where I live, which is about 8.5-9 miles away, and be here in just a few minutes than the fellow that used to have to go out and saddle a horse up to get to church. I can look at time differently because I know I can get here in just a few minutes, provided my vehicle don't break down or something of that nature or accident. I know that I can do that. So I look at time different than people used to look at time. And we talked about the other day all the modern conveniences that we have, all the modern technology that we use that is supposed to advance the time that it takes to do those things. Dishwashers, automatic dishwashers, washers and dryers, the internet, all the smartphones, all this technology that we have that should provide us with so much more time because it's speeding up the way that we do business and the way that business is conducted. Corey mentioned the other night about mobile banking, which that's something I'm not up to date on, but I do know a little bit about it. It speeds up the business transaction of being able to make deposits into the bank and that sort of thing. So, again, I asked the question last week, why is it with all these time savers that we have and all these things that's supposed to give us more time, it seems that nobody has any time. It seems that we're all pressed for time, that we're often pulled in so many different directions with the things that we're trying to do. And, again, I've noticed another thing that has changed in time. Whenever I was a young fellow and I had an opportunity to get a good job, I was very appreciative of that job, and I made it a point to take care of that job. I was talking to Corey there before services how that this young fellow that I'm acquainted with had an opportunity this week to make some money, and he needed to make some money, and he didn't take care of his job that he had this week, and he didn't respect it, and he didn't appreciate it. He had an attitude of, I'm doing you a favor by showing up for work. I don't know how many of you all deal with employees, but a lot of the young people that come into the workforce today have that same attitude that I'm doing you a favor by being here. Whenever it used to be that people looked at it like, you've done me a favor by giving me a job, and I want to make sure that I do you a good job, and I want to show you that I appreciate that job, and I want to make sure that I'm there on time and that I stay the full day and give you an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. So why has that changed? Because time has changed that. The way that people think and view that has changed. And again, I worked with an old fella when I worked for Winn-Dixie, and he was a fine fella. His name was Leonard Dalton. And I remember the work ethic that older fella had. He worked two jobs. He worked at Anderson Packaging down there at Somerset, and he worked full-time at Winn-Dixie. And he had a lawn mowing business in the summertime. He mowed and weed-eated yards to make extra money. And if that wasn't enough, there was countless times that I would see him going around picking up aluminum pop cans to take to sell to generate extra money. He had two children, and he worked and put them both through college and gave them a better opportunity at life simply because he had such a strong work ethic. And he always said, and this always stuck with me, and this is something we might want to carry with us as a church going into 2018. He said, the only way to kill time is to work it to death. And I always thought that was a good adage. And I believe he lived by that because every time I seen him, he was doing something to try to generate a little bit of income. I don't know about his spiritual life, but I know he had a work ethic that was unsurpassed. And I always gained from that. And I was really built up by the fact that sometimes I would feel like that I was tired working, and I would look at him and say, I don't have any right to be complaining or saying that I'm tired. Look at that fella. He's a lot He's a lot older than I am, and he's managing to hold down two jobs because he's got a strong work ethic. So just keep that in mind, that little adage, as we go into the new year from a spiritual standpoint. Over in James chapter 1 and verse 17, and I made the point last week, and I want us to really grasp this point. The reason I'm going to bring it up again is the time that we have here upon this earth is a gift given unto us by God. You know, there's nothing that said that we ever had to have it to start with. There's nothing that said that we ever had to have life. There's nothing that says that we have to have so many years of life upon this earth. We're not given no promise of tomorrow. So if we looked at the time that we have upon this earth as a gift from God, we might rearrange how we're using some of that time. And again, any lesson that I preach, any sermon that I preach is to me foremost, because I need it as much as anybody that I might be delivering it to. But this scripture says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And again, I think the ideal here is that the point I wanted to make was there is no variableness with God. Time changes a lot of things, and as we move forward, we see a lot of changes, and y'all can contest to that. We can see a lot of things that may be for the better, and we can see some things that may be for the worse. But time does change things here upon this earth. But this scriptures tell us that there is no variableness with God. Time doesn't change His Word. It doesn't change His will. It doesn't change His wisdom. It doesn't change His eternal plan for man's eternal soul and the fact that he can have eternity in heaven with Him. So there is no variableness with God. There may be variableness with people, and they may change because of time and the things that time brings on, but there is no variableness with God. And notice verse 18, it said, He begot us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. You know, first fruits means that we should be the best. It's kind of like the way I illustrated that is whenever you have a garden and you're watching that first tomato that you're waiting for and you've been longing for. I don't know how you all are, but I love garden tomatoes. I could eat a bushel of them. And you start watching that tomato as it comes out of the bloom stage into a tomato, and you start watching it ripen, and it's just perfect. I mean, there's no spots or blemishes on it, and you're watching it. And you're desiring to have that first fruits, those first garden tomatoes that come out of the garden. We know God would desire that we would be that way with Him. He would desire the first fruits that we have, since He sacrificed so much for us. And sometimes what He gets rather than the first fruits is kind of the scraps or the leftovers. And again, I'm not trying to repeat Barry Lee's lesson, but the point is we can't give God what is left over of our time and think that that's going to be acceptable unto God. And I think all of us at some point in our lives have been a little bit guilty of that, saying, well, this is what you're going to get, God, because this is what I got left after all the other demands that have been put on me in life. Take, this is what I've got left. And I think to God that's probably like saying, well, here's the table scraps. This is what we're going to give you after we've eat what we want. This is what you're going to get. And we have to be careful about that. We have to realize that we are His first fruits, and we need to give Him our first fruits and not make it so far down the list that He's not a priority to us. And I sometimes fear that we as Christians, we do that. And again, I know it's a balancing act. I'm in the juggling myself. And over in James chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Again, that's a scripture most anyone could quote. We realize as we get older how brief and how short that life is. Life is fleeting. It does get away. And it appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. It just evaporates and it's gone. It doesn't seem possible that I should be 53 and that I've got three grown daughters and I've got five grandchildren and one on the way. I've almost got my mortgage paid off. It doesn't seem possible that all those things should have transpired already in my life, but they have. And again, as I go forward, it seems like that time just keeps picking up speed and there's less of me to do more of what I need to do. So somewhere we have to kind of figure out how that we're going to adjust those things and keep that in balance and keep a balancing act going with that. And I can't tell you how to do that. That's something you'll have to decide in your own life. But you need to realize that time is fleeting. Also over in Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, this is a very good point because God does not measure time like that we measure time. Again, we can really get stressed out, we can get overloaded, and we can get pulled in a lot of different directions because we got so many things going on that are demanding of our time that we can get to the point that we're just not happy anymore. We're not happy and we're not content because we're being pulled in so many different directions that life is not a happy occasion. It's more of a stressful situation. And I know that many of you all have experienced that feeling, and I have myself. Sometimes I reminisce about the days when I was just a young boy, and my biggest thing that I had to do each day was get up and go wade the branches and turn over rocks and look for crawdads underneath the rocks. Man, those were good days. You know, there was no stress, there was no pressure, there wasn't anything, wasn't anywhere that I had to be, there wasn't anything that I had to do, and it was just seemed like when you get overloaded with the pressures and the stresses of life, you want to go back to that almost like, boy, that was a good time in my life that I didn't have any pressures, and we know we can't do that. But the point is God doesn't measure time the way that we do, and it's hard for us to get our hands around the fact that in God's world, a day is the same as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years the same as a day. We get caught up in measuring time with, again, hours and days and years and decades and centuries, but that's not going to be the case with God. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 8 it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Again, that's hard for us to get our hands around because we're used to having to be pulled and look at a clock all the time and pressures of having to be somewhere or do this or do that because somebody is depending upon us. And I'm not saying that that's all bad. We know that we have to have time and we have to have time clocks and we have to have a measurement of time. But what I am saying is God doesn't measure time the way that we do. And we can look at it however we want to, but whenever we come down to the end of our days, if we're ready to stand before Him in the judgment day, we'll enter into a place to where we won't feel that stress, that pressure, that ideal of being pulled in so many different directions, trying to be in too many different places at one time. Something else that I've come to learn and to appreciate as I grow older that might benefit you, if you're not up to my age yet, maybe even if you're older, is enjoy the good times in life because, you know, they're fleeting as well. And life is pretty short when you get right down to it. And there'll be enough sad times that we'll have to deal with in our lives. We all that have lived any life can say that we've experienced that and know what I'm talking about. And I think God wants us to enjoy life, and He wants us to enjoy the good times in life and take time to enjoy life. And sometimes we get so enveloped in work and careers and things of that nature, we just simply do not enjoy life, as I said a while ago. It becomes more of a burden to us than it does the way that God would have it to be, and that is for us to enjoy it. Enjoy the good things that we've labored for and take pleasure in some of those things. Enjoy your family and take time for your family and take time to serve God. Take time to do God's will. And you'll see the blessings that come from that. Oftentimes, whenever you go do the work of the Lord, you'll come away more blessed than the one that you're trying to bless by doing that visitation or whatever it might be. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and beginning in verse 8 through 14, it says, "Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessings, knowing that you are thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord against them that do evil is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled." Again, this ideal and concept that Peter talks about here is we need to know that we're in good standing with God, And we need to enjoy this time that He's given us upon this earth. He wants us to have good times, happy days, happy occasions. He wants us to be happy. Again, those that we come in contact with will pick up on the fact whether we're happy or not, whether we're a joyful person because we know that we're right in the sight of God and that we're doing His will, we're living a life that's pleasing and acceptable in His sight. Or they'll know if we're trying to straddle that fence and we're trying to walk with one foot in the world and one foot in Christianity and we're not doing a very good job in either place. They can pick up on that, and they will pick up on that. But if you're the example that God would have you to be, and that again includes making Him a priority in your life, every aspect of your life, every opportunity that you have in each and every day of your life, you'll glorify God, and He'll get the glory for it. But if not, people will be able to pick up on that. And again, I think if we can just get that concept that wherever I'm at, whatever the situation is, let God be glorified through me. And that'll be good use of your time. You'll be redeeming the time that God has given you very wisely. And again, we don't know when time will end. We don't know when our lives will end. There's people that get up to go places, and as it was pointed out the other night, they think they're going to a destination, and before they get there, they're involved in some sort of accident or very tragic thing, and their life is just taken out. So life for them has ended, and time as they know it has ended right at that moment. And then they'll enter into eternity, and they'll spend eternity in one or two places. We need to make sure that we're ready to spend eternity with God. We need to make sure that whether the Lord comes back to pronounce judgment upon the world or whether our life ends, that we're in good standing with God. Again, we don't know when that time is. Christ said that even He didn't know, that only His Father in heaven knew when the end of time would be as we know it. James chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "But the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Not only are the rich going to perish away, but the poor, poverty-stricken are as well. Time will take care of all that. 1 Peter 1 and verse 24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." This body is a temporary arrangement. We only have a limited amount of time. How are we using that time? What are our goals for using that time in the future? Is anything going to change about the way we've been using that time? Are we in a position where we can change anything about that time? What would have to happen for us to be able to change the list of priorities and rearrange our priorities as far as time goes? Again, that's something only each and every one of you could ask yourself. I can't speak for that. I know in my life what that is, but I can't tell you in yours. Again, we are all going to a place, if we're ready to stand before God in the judgment, we're going to a place where we'll not be racing against no clock, we'll not be racing against time, and we won't have to worry about anything. We won't have the worries and the anxieties and the fears about physical infirmities in this life. We'll be happy and free from all these things, free from all cares. We won't feel the pressures that we now feel, the things that bear down on us so hard, responsibilities that we have, and we'll have eternal bliss. In John chapter 14, and beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 6, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, we need to keep that fresh in our mind, that the only way that we can get to be with God in heaven is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it was that grace and that mercy that was extended to us on Calvary's cross that afforded us that opportunity. What are you going to do with the time that's been given unto you? You know, we only know, as I said before, time is measured in past, present, and future. We only know what we have right now. We have this present moment. We have this present time to be prepared to meet God in the judgment day. We don't know after we leave this building, after the new year begins, we don't know what time brings. I just beg with you and plead with you, if you've never made the preparation that you need to make to stand before your Creator in the judgment day, that you would give consideration to that. If you've heard the gospel preached enough that you understand that all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God, and Romans 10:17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and also Romans 10:10, where it says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. And also we have to be willing to repent. Luke 13:3 says, nay, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And of course we have to be baptized to be raised up to walk in newness of life. You can also redeem the time that God has blessed you with. If you're subject to heaven's invitation anyway, we'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.